This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani. 9:36 right now on Monday, the 25th of July. That means it's time for Pressing Matters. This is the show that takes you beyond the headlines of the day, where we speak to members of the press corps. And on the show, Joyce Goh from the Corporate and Capital Markets Desk at the Edge Media Group. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning.
All right. So we're going to be looking at a couple of your stories in the Edge Weekly, this week's issue as well as last week. Last week you had a really interesting article about media groups eyeing the outdoor advertising pie. So you wrote that at least three media groups have submitted bids to operate advertising space at the MRT project. This is a 50 kilometers of new advertising space, a 10-year contract.
Yes,
right?
Yes. So I heard from industry sources that the bid happened last month in June, where they submitted the bids, and the contract is expected to start at the end of this year in December. So I contacted MRT Corp, but the spokesman there declined to comment, saying that they're still evaluating the bids, so they cannot reveal anything because it's still in that process.
Yeah, but we all kind of know, right, who are the three or four
Well,
guys.
You did some digging, didn't you, Joyce?
Yeah. Went to Kepo around.
So when you were Kepoing around, who did you, some sources, which little birdie told you which companies are vying for this bid?
Actually, a few. There are three that are pretty confirmed that have put in the... They are confirmed to have put in bids for this, and that is Big Tree, Red Berry Group, and Sunny Jaya. So all these three players are listed in a way, because Big Tree is through Media Prima. That's the outdoor advertising business of Media Prima. And Red Berry is the...
through Ancom.
Yes,
Ancom Berhad.
Yes, the media business. And Sunny Jaya is listed itself on Bursa.
Well, let's go into the companies a little bit, right?
Yeah, okay. So my biggest issue with these guys, the three guys, right? The Big Tree and Red Berry and Sunny Jaya. Do they have the necessary experience in metro advertising or transit media? Because in order for you to actually capture that 50 kilometers worth of outdoor advertising, you need to have that kind of experience. At the very least, by logic, right, you need to know how to advertise over 50 kilometers long.
Well, they have a lot of experience with outdoor advertising. So you it's a segment that you call the out of home. So OOH is what the industry calls it. Right?
So these three players... In a way, they do have, like, for example, experience. Ibrahim, for example, Big Tree, they are with MRT. So they are the people that do the advertising, outdoor advertising for MRT. Red Berry has transit advertising on buses for Rapid, KL and Penang. And then Sunny Jaya has exclusive marketing agent services in Malaysia for Singapore's buses.
Right.
SBS.
So to take things, on the perspective of MRT, do you think that it's...
Big Tree is LRT, not MRT.
Big Tree,
yes,
LRT.
Yes.
So if you're MRT, right, you are MRT Corp, wouldn't it be great if you could just get one of the best talents, not just the three local guys, but also the international guys?
Yes, I think there is, from what I understand, industry sources mentioned to me that local bidders can tie up with foreign players that have metro and transit media advertising experience, but I do not know who are these foreign players, but I understand that there are two Thai foreign players that may have had talks with local players here, and these are VGI and Plan B. So VGI is a Thai-listed outdoor advertising company that does the advertising for Bangkok's BTS, B does for Bangkok's MRT.
How does that work? Does it mean that they can bid solo, or they have to partner?
No, they have to tie up with local bidders. They can't just bid solo.
So they still have to, with these three companies, Big Tree, Red Berry, and Sunny Jaya, they still have to partner with these guys.
No, if they want to. I mean, Red Berry. I think Big Tree, they have the LRT experience. So I think if they don't want to, they can go on it on their own, right? So I'm not sure who are the local bidders that have tied up with the foreign ones, but there is this clause there, I understand, where if you are a local bidder and let's say you do not have a transit advertising experience, which these three have, but let's say if I am a outdoor advertising player, but I do not have transit media experience and I want to bid for this, I can, but I need to tie up with an international player that has that experience.
So it's two separate sides of the business, right? So when you talk about outdoor media advertising, that's one segment of it. Then perhaps
it's a
subset of that is the transit side.
Yes,
so,
correct.
So different, maybe, like the way
you
would outdoor billboards?
Yeah, because outdoor advertising, you can do like Sunny Jaya, they have the concession for the LDP. So 40 km of the LDP highway, they have the advertising rights for that. So that's different kind of...
Yeah.
You know, it's outdoor as well. So it depends on... It's huge. I get outdoors, there are different subsections.
Okay,
like
so
transit.
Just to make things clear. Okay, so for instance, LDP, KLIA and MRT, for instance. So let's say MRT has the new line is coming mm-hmm. up. It is MRT's prerogative to sell that ad space, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
MRT owns that space and they say, okay, I can give you a contract to one of these companies. It's for 10 years, right? It's
it
a
can
long
be, yes.
Contract.
Yeah, and this is like the trains, the stations,
like, right.
Yeah, like you
the
want
platform,
to, yeah, correct,
platform
like, yeah.
On the pillars.
Everywhere you want to sell, you sell.
But the money is there. The money is huge. If correct. You think about it, one of the larger advertising companies in Malaysia, Media Prima, they have about 130, 140 million ringgit revenue. More than a quarter of that came from outdoor advertising, about 36 million, according to your numbers.
Yes.
So that means that there is a huge market for this.
Mm.
You know, we had this chat in the morning, Melissa and I and Chuang, and we're asking ourselves, how do you quantify the metric on the
outdoor advertising?
Outdoor advertising,
how
right?
can you check how many people have seen that?
I spoke to a media analyst to ask how because this is obviously a big segment right now, right? And he explains that the margins for these are pretty good. It's about 30-40% margins. This is from the media advertising guy.
So the margin is great, but how can you know, the big
you're
three, for instance.
Oh, talking about the returns. Like when you say how many eyeballs go to that
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because digital, to compare this, right? With digital, you know, clicks per view, how long they've been there, the user of the click, the kind of demography that you can get of the viewers. With outdoor advertising, you can just, the only way you can do it is extrapolate, right? Or, you know, this number of people drove by the billboard.
Yeah, went through the
billboard.
KLIA went through took the bus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So how do you, you know, in that sense,
well, that's
is advertising?
That's precisely it, lah. Because, you know, if you have an advertisement right outside the LRT door, you can just budget how many people took the LRT that day, they would have seen your ad.
But the thing is, I think what Ibrahim's trying to say is like online, you can see the clicks, right? Whereas this one you see, but whether that translates into buying your product or...
Yeah.
You know,
whether or not it's a close sale, right?
Mm,
So that's why. So this is a setup question, actually. Sorry, Joyce. Because essentially, right? If you want sales, I think the more accurate measure would be on advertising through this digital media. But if you want brand recognition, if you want people to know your presence and so on, that may not necessarily translate to sales. But generally speaking, just to know that this company or this corporation is out there in the market,
right?
Outdoor advertising is perhaps the best way to go.
Well, you said
that's
the margins
true.
Are huge, right?
Yeah, margins, yes. But then again, coming back to online, clicks and all that, but advertisers are still not willing to pay.
Gung-ho there,
you know, it's still very hard for, like if you talk about media, online media, how many websites can say that they are super profitable?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone globally has
right, but that's
come
the
up with that business model.
But that's where Google and Facebook are now, you know, fighting each other literally on the advertising space. Because, you know, Facebook has their own proposition, Google has their own proposition, you can advertise on Google ad space, and you can just use the pervasive network of Google to actually get out there in the market.
Yes.
I guess I was a little surprised that, you know, so many companies would be quite keen to get this contract.
Mm.
Because overall, you see that advertisers are kind of slowing down when it comes to their advertising expenditure, their ad ads, right?
But MRT is a whole new... pie though, and you know, people, how many people will be taking the MRT to work and back? And you know, this is just a whole new platform for advertisers to gain new eyeballs.
So it's a new space that's been opened up, right? Okay, for sure. Very, very interesting. I do think where the profit margin comes in is that it may need some kind of expenditure in the beginning, but there's also that maintenance part of it. Yes. When it comes to this transit advertising.
So it's 2016 and we're still discussing outdoor advertising. That means, I guess, this is here to stay without a doubt, you know, despite the matrix and the digital and all that.
At the end of the day, their global entertainment and media outlook last month predicting OOH advertising revenue to grow a compounded annual growth rate of 4.3% to reach US $42.7
billion
in 2020.
That is insane.
Insane.
You know, I was telling Chong this morning that one of the most effective outdoor advertising that has worked magic on me personally is that giant milk carton on Damansara Heights coming down from Jalan Samantan.
Yes.
Every time I pass it, I'll be like, oh yeah, I ran out of milk. Must go and pick up some more.
Yeah, there you go.
And when I get to the grocer, I'll be like, yeah, I'll just buy that red light that I saw. So that's worked on me in terms of brand recognition for sure.
Yeah.
9:46 right now. We'll be back with more stories that Joyce wrote for The Edge Weekly. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Ibrahim Saini here with me. And we have Joyce Goh, Associate Editor with The Edge Media Group. So one of the articles that you wrote for this week's issue of The Edge Weekly, Joyce, is that from September onwards, insurers in Malaysia will have to perform stress tests based on multi-year scenarios. That's a change in policy for them, is it?
Yes. They have to look at a period of multi-year basis from as opposed to a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I spoke to some industry players and as well as a partner in PwC, Angie Wong, who specializes in insurance. And she mentioned that this was already hinted before, but this didn't come into effect until this policy document came about.
Right.
Insurers have to look at this September 1st onwards. Because someone tipped me off with the policy document and I went to ask around with some insurers, insurance players and NG as well, as to what this is all about. And she explained that this provides more clarity to insurers and how they should undertake stress tests.
Right.
Because, you know, with the whole landscape right now, everything's evolving, you know, interest rates go up, down and all that. So employment,
right,
things like that. So they believe that insurers need to do stress tests based on a longer period rather than just a year. I think that's more realistic.
So the multi-year period testing.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Just to make sure that all the considered... So because some things, they don't have an effect until several years down the road, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So essentially, the core reason why they want to do this is because they want to make sure that the insurers are adequately capitalized.
Yes.
And my question is, the stress tests will affect differently for the two types of insurers, like, because life insurers, they have an effect where it's maybe 5 to 6 years down the road, and general insurers or general takaful people or companies, they might have a shorter term in terms of their impact. So I guess this stress test is very important. As we again mentioned about this in the morning, we've seen this happen with the banks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the banks are a little bit more risky than insurers in terms of capital adequacy risk.
Mm-hmm.
But in this sense, my biggest question is, why haven't we been doing this for the longest of time? Why only now, right? I mean, I'm saying it's great that, you know, September 1st we have to do it, but for the longest of time, we haven't done this before. So, you know, that really...
Well, you know, times are tougher now. I mean, you just look at the landscape. Earlier, we had on current affairs a look at the global economy. And, I mean, the political risk alone that is exposed, you know, the global economy is exposed to such political risk at the moment. Already, I think a couple of the things that Bank Negara is saying, you know, that you should be taking into consideration, insurers, is things like a deterioration of the mortality experience, something that can take a few years to register.
Yeah, and a
for
period
insurers.
Of prolonged low interest rates.
Oh, yes.
But I think perhaps a few insurers have already on their own done multi-year scenarios.
Yeah,
but I guess this just
sure.
puts it out there that, you know, everybody has to do it.
So from your
September 1st.
From your korek-korek, right, this industry,
kepo,
right?
Kepo, yes.
Do you think that it affects differently the insurers that are tied with the banks versus insurance that are standalone?
I think all of them will have to do this.
No, I mean, yeah. So, like, for instance,
how ready they are.
Yeah, how ready they are.
Which I think because insurance, I guess, the industry as well, before this, they're already so regulated and they have to do a lot of looking at their capital as well before, and like banks. And I think that is a reason why a lot of M&As have been happening as well in that sector. Like the smaller ones, they keep selling out, you know, like Pacific Mass.
Yeah.
There are a few, right?
Yeah.
Who else? Pacific and Orient sold a stake to Sanlam, which is a South African. So there are a few.
There's also the scoop. I think it was the Hong Leong insurance business could be.
Now recently, there could be in talks to sell. So I think that industry as well has already been super regulated and they are ready. But I guess this is just to make sure that they are even more ready and I guess more realistic. The stress test scenarios.
As a consumer, I should be happy about this, right?
Yeah, you should be. Do you remember, I think it was in the US, the Federal Reserve has stress tests for the banks. And was it Deutsche Bank, the Deutsche business in the US that failed for the second time running? After that, the IMF said that Deutsche was the biggest systemic risk to the global economy, right?
Yeah.
So stress tests are a good indicator of a problem before it
happens. Right. I also spoke to Etika's head of risk management, Rudy Ehrman, and he mentioned that looking at the present economic condition, things have evolved and things are very volatile today. So he says moving forward, this whole thing will ensure that stress tests are more detailed.
Mm.
So he believes that, it's a good move as well because they so many things change so much that they have to be more realistic about their stress test scenarios.
One thing that I want to highlight, what Rudy said and you quoted him, is that this is in line with global best practices.
Yes.
And I think that's great. That's absolutely great.
Well, very quickly, since we're talking about the volatile global economy, Malaysian banks with exposure to China, they're keeping an eye on the quality of loans that they have in that market, because what's happened is that the non-performing loans level there has passed the 2 trillion renminbi mark. That's about $300 billion.
Yes.
Highest in since 2004. So that rising trend, the rising NPLs is a cause for concern for Malaysian banks with exposures there. So who are the banks with exposure there at the moment?
There are a few. These include Maybank, CIMB, Public and Hong Leong.
Yeah. So, Joyce, my question is, do you think we are more in trouble or other markets in Southeast Asia would be more in trouble in this sense, particularly when, you know, it's actually 2.15% the NPL ratio, right? But it's up by 0.16 percentage points. Do you think that Malaysia is worse off, say, rather than Singapore, Indonesia or other countries?
I think in Malaysia, after talking to the banks, I think they are aware of this and they are keeping an eye on it. But I don't think our exposure is as huge perhaps as Singaporean banks.
Right.
But I have to double check on the numbers.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that locally, they in Malaysia, the Malaysian banks are not that hugely exposed. But you can see from the numbers, what got me into this story was that you can see the rise in impaired loans from China and Hong Kong markets from FY 2014 compared to FY 2015. That has jumped quite a bit for some banks. For example, Public, 62 million went up to 104 million. Maybank from 24 million went up to 972 million. So that's a jump.
Wow.
So that's why we looked into it. But as Dato' Amirul Faizal has mentioned, the group CFO of Maybank, to The Edge when we wrote to him to ask about this. And
the new
he
CFO,
says,
yes.
He mentioned that they are keeping an eye on it and they are aware of it. And China as a market is significant in the long term and our strategies reflect this. So I think they all the banks are realize this and they are on it. So I don't think it would be as bad as Indonesia the exposure.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Wait, because if you think about it, it's more corporate exposure than it is retail, right? That's also the danger there. I do have to say though, it's a bit of a catch-22, right? I mean, the banks want to have a presence in China. You can't afford to ignore China. It's so big, you have to have a China play. But then again, you have to be cognizant of all the risks that it comes with.
There's also because in the pursuit of that globalization process, right, there's this interconnectivity between these three countries that you mentioned, Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia. If you think about it, Malaysia, we have three big banks, RHB, Maybank, and CIMB. They all have presence in all these three countries. So even if the loan originated from Indonesia for some Chinese exposure, if it's a Malaysian entity, for instance, Siam Niaga, for instance, I think it's still going to be the same bad news for Malaysian banks because they are headquartered here in Malaysia.
Mm.
At least that's my opinion, because everything is interconnected. And how they keep their books as clean as possible also matters because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a centralized market.
Yes.
Everything is connected. Mm. So, you know, you can't just say, you know, something bad happens there, we're insulated here.
So I don't think RHB is as exposed. It's public. Public
ah,
is
public,
Hong Kong.
Public, yeah, public, oh, okay,
yeah,
there you
Hong
go.
Kong.
There
so
you go.
All around, everyone's watching the NPL levels from
yes,
China.
Yes, they're keeping an eye on it for sure. And I think they've got it under control from what I gather. Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, good luck.
Okay, we've run out of
That's
time.
That's what they say.
So right. A big yeah. thank you to Joyce
thank
Goh,
you.
Associate Why Editor at The Edge Media Group. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks, Joyce.
Yes.
But we've got news at 10 coming up shortly. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani for The Morning Run. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.